Now, we've just been through the political machinations of the Fianna Fáil party, of course. Lots of news, lots of things happening. It's coming to the Christmas time. So one of the stories that kind of passed us by for a few days was last Friday's court costs hearing, in which bloodstock billionaire John Magner was hit with the highest legal cost award possible by the High Court after a judge said he had lied during the Barron Estate lawsuit. This is a case with a strong Kerry flavour because a bidder for the Barron Estate is Maurice Regan, another billionaire, Listowel-born, New York-based construction magnate who also has a stud in County Tipperary. The decision last Friday by Mr Justice Max Barrett came as lawyers for the Coolmore magnate indicated he intends to appeal the loss of his lawsuit over the 751-acre Golden Vale tillage farm and mansion. The cost of the case has been speculated to be in excess of €6 million due to just the size of it, the amount of discovery, the 19-day trial involving several high-profile lawyers, legal discovery and also pre-trial hearings as well. Well, with me on the line to talk about this in more detail is Sunday Independent reporter Mark Tighe, who's been covering this case. Mark, good morning to you and thanks for joining me this morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, as I said, this was there's a strong Kerry flavour to this, of course, because Maurice Regan, Listowel-born billionaire and, you know, livestock or bloodstock owner himself, is involved. He effectively outbid John Magner by €7.5 million for the Barron Estate. But then that's why John Magner, I suppose, he thought he had a deal done with the owners of the estate. And that's what prompted this court case, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So it's like Maurice Regan, the son of Monty Regan, who hails from County Kerry. They would have emigrated to London, but moved back to Ireland in the 1990s. And they bought Newton Anner Stud, which is just outside Clonmel. You know, established that it's a very successful stud now. And, you know, he's over 150 horses there. So you know, he would have been someone who uses his Coolmore. You know, it's the biggest, one of the biggest bloodstock enterprises in the world. They have operations in America and Australia, and a, you know, huge presence in Tipperary and in other counties. You know, it's, John Magner would own some 11,000 acres in Tipperary alone. But this whole dispute is basically between these two billionaires, and in the middle of it are the Thompson Moore family, who own the Barron Estate, and a legal trust based in Jersey that owns that legally owns the estate. The Thompson Moores are the beneficiaries of that. So the whole case centered on John Magner saying, look, we had a handshake deal in August 2023. You were up in Coolmore House. We shook hands on a €15 million deal, but the Thompson Moore said, no, look, we said we had a deal, but it was subject to trustee approval, and that approval basically never came, and there was no signed contract. And we did get bigger bids eventually, as you say, $22.25 million a bid from Maurice Regan was accepted, and they want to complete that deal. Ultimately, Judge Max Barrett ruled in September that the Thompson Moores, the defendants, were completely correct. There was no contract, no deal in place, and you know, John Magner had taken a case which had no substance to it, and he found that, you know, there was shifting sands, that he changed his story to suit the evidence, and he dismissed the case on all grounds. And then we got into last Friday, which was a very heated costs hearing.
And that cost hearing, the cost of the case, he awarded it a pretty much majority against John Magner and Coolmore. So, I mean, €6 million, is that down to just the sheer scale of this case, the number of lawyers involved, the amount of discovery, or all of the above?
All of that, yeah. And to be frank, it's, the total legal costs of the case are probably in the region of €10 million. €6 million would be the legal costs just on the defendant's side. And that includes, we've been told, €1.5 million spent on discovery. So this case, on the Magner side, on the Coolmore side, John Magner was a plaintiff, so was his daughter Kate Watchman, and his son JP Magner. They employed Arthur Cox solicitors, who are one of the biggest firms in the state. They also had Paul Gallagher, yeah, who's a former attorney general, and Karen Gagan, yeah, senior counsel. So there was extensive discovery, pre-trial hearings, a number of pre-trial fights. On the other side, then Creed McStay were kind of a much smaller firm employed by the Thompson Moores and IQEQ, which is the Jersey Trust that actually owns the Barron Estate in trust for the beneficiaries. And so they had to deploy, you know, huge resources to meet all of these demands, they said. And we heard from Martin Hayden, senior counsel for the defendants, that they accused John Magnier and Coolmore side of waging what they said was lawfare, you know, using the law and their legal resources, you know, to kind of effectively bully the other side. They said it was like bulldozer law, you know, which put the defendants to huge expense, a lot of stress, and you know, thousands of working hours trying to meet all the demands for discovery. You know, handing over laptops, phones, discovering thousands and thousands of pages of records. So that all brought the legal expenses in the case to the astronomical amounts we're talking about.
Have you ever seen a case of this size? I understand they had to move to a bigger courtroom to accommodate the number of lawyers and all the documentation that was brought in.
Yeah, look, there have been huge cases. Like there's cases involving billions at stake. You know, where recently we've had you know, aircraft leasing firms suing insurers. That involved much bigger legal teams. That involved, you know, there was like 10 legal teams involved in that case. So there have been bigger cases. But you know, when you get down to this, it was a gobsmacking amount of lawyers involved for what was a kind of a relatively small amount at stake, which is a 751-acre plot of land outside Clonmel and a large kind of chateau-style house. So, you know, the amount of lawyers deployed in this case was, you know, outstanding. It was really jaw-dropping.
Remarkable.
I remember the first day.
Yeah.
I remember going up. We used to talk to the judge saying, "Where can we sit?" Because Arthur Cox had taken up one third of the courtroom just with some of their staff, but also they'd kind of taken over all the benches with all the paperwork. They had basically deployed a library in the room and left no room for the, you know, quite a large kind of media cohort, and we'd nowhere to sit. So we did ask them to move their folders and their binders. They made some space for us, but the judge said, "Look, we're going to need a bigger courtroom." Yes, so we did deploy to another courtroom, and it was remarkable even when we showed up there. There was a number of interns from Arthur Cox keeping the seats warm for various people, basically acting as placeholders. So there were a lot of unique and things I'd never seen in a courtroom before. You know, I'm covering the High Court up in Dublin for 20 years, and there have been bigger cases, but for what was at stake here, I'd never seen so many lawyers deployed for what was a kind of a relatively small net amount.
Yeah.
On High Court levels anyway.
Yeah, one of the other elements of this, which is maybe on a level so fascinating, is because it gives an insight into the operations of Coolmore, because, you know, John Magnier is one of the lowest profile billionaires we have in the country, particularly somebody as successful as he is in the sporting arena.
Oh, exactly. Yes, this was fascinating for like journalists, and like I know Paul Kimmich, who's a colleague of mine. He was in court just to watch John Magnier to see, you know, what he would say. So in, you know, he was in the witness box for some 3 days, and there was a lot of interesting insights into how he operates. You know, I'd never seen someone in the witness box kind of reprimand the other side's barrister for the way they're approaching their questions. You know, he said, "You know, I came here to have my reputation upheld. I didn't come here to be slaughtered." You know, he reprimanded Martin Hayden, the barrister for the defendants, for not looking him in the eye when he was answering his questions. So, you know, there was a lot of insights into his personality. And you could see the deference that when the witnesses from Coolmore were called, whether it was Joe Houlihan, the farm manager, or some of the senior executives, you know, they were all very deferential to John Magnier, the boss man. So it was fascinating to see that insight into the whole Coolmore operation.
Mark, where does it go from here? It goes to the Court of Appeals, is that right? And I take it this whole sale, the 22.25 million from Maurice Regan to try and buy the Barron Estate, that's all on hold, isn't it?
Well, yeah, there is something called a Liz Pendens Coolmore and John Magnier have filed on the Land Registry, which means they've basically filed a legal notice that there's an objection to the transfer of title on the Barron estate. So that's, you know, it is possible that they could seek to complete the deal, but that Liz Pendens will be on the file. So we learned last Friday that John Magnier has decided to appeal the High Court judgment. And when we were at that hearing, there was an application from the defendants to have what is called solicitor and client level costs. So this is a higher level of legal costs from the other side that would be awarded naturally or in normal course of business. Usually the losing side pays legal costs, but not to that extent. So it's about a 30% uplift on the amount of legal costs that the Coolmore side will have to pay. And that's only in the case where a court or a judge wants to express dissatisfaction and unhappiness about how one side had run their case.
And the judge, and Mark, really did express his unhappiness, didn't he? With that award.
So in his judgment in September, he talked about the shifting sands and unsatisfactory explanations of how did John Magnier say that. Initially, he said, you know, when Richard Thompson Moore came out of the room and they shook his hand, said, you know, the trustees have been phoned and they've given permission. This is all done deal. And then when it emerged through discovery that the phone records showed there was no phone calls to the trustees, he changed his story. He filed new affidavits saying, well, no, they didn't say that, but it was implied that he had the permission. And so Judge Barrett said it was never satisfactorily explained how they shifted their story here. You know, and they filed their affidavits so close to what happened, it's not readily explained. He said there is a word to explain what happened here, and it's lying, and that is what has happened in this case. So he's held that there was lying on behalf of the plaintiffs in the case, you know, which is John Magnier. We're yet to hear a response to this, but that's the reason he said that he's going to apply these much stricter and higher level of solicitor and client legal costs that John Magnier will now have to pay for the defence. And that's an order they have to comply with now. They have to pay these legal costs even pending the appeal, which will be heard in the Court of Appeal next year. Obviously, if Mr. Magnier is successful in his appeal, he can seek to recover those costs. But obviously, it's a high hurdle to have a high court judgment like this overturned. When you read through the judgment, it's very hard to see what grounds he would have. And we don't know what grounds he's taking his appeal on yet.
Yeah, and that could stretch it up maybe to this time next year, possibly, or September.
It could, like. Yeah, we the Court of Appeal, I imagine, will hear it before the summer, and then we'll get a judgment then. You know, it'll be up to them to see how quickly we get the judgment. And obviously, there's always a possibility of a Supreme Court appeal as well, which could prolong matters even further.
Yeah, Mark, look, the other side of this, one of the details that I wasn't aware of when looking at this case is just the sheer amount of land involved here. 11,000 acres Coolmore reputedly has. If a farm comes up for sale in the area, it gets bought. Is that what's been happening in Tipperary the last number of years?
Well, yes. A lot of the large and kind of middling holdings, Coolmore have bought them, or, you know, Coolmore Associates, a lot of the land is bought in the name of partners or companies, or, you know, JP Magnier and Kate Watchman, their names on a lot of land. I was in Clonmel yesterday. There was a very interesting case where they bought land in 2022 and they were prosecuted, and the Coolmore company has pleaded guilty to illegally ripping up over kilometres length of hedgerows in breach of environmental laws. So there's a huge amount of land bought by Coolmore. We believe in the region of 11,000 acres, and, you know, I've been up and down to Tipperary a lot in the last year, and there is a lot of unhappiness among farmers, especially obviously if you're selling, it's great to have Coolmore coming in and paying what can often be high levels, but for you know, farmers who maybe would want to extend their land, they're up against Coolmore, and they have very little chance of succeeding with that kind of financial firepower that Coolmore can bring to play. And also, of course, people like Maurice Regan now, who are also on the acquisition kind of trail, looking to bid for land as well. So it makes life for the kind of small to middling farmers very difficult to purchase land to make their, you know, farm economically viable.
Okay, fascinating stuff, Mark. Thanks a million. And there's a brilliant podcast at the Indo Daily podcast with Mark and Paul Kimmage and Fionnuala Sheehan talking about all this case and the outcome of Friday. You can check that out as well. But Mark, thanks so much for talking to me this morning.
Yeah, pleasure. Thank you.
That's Mark Tighe there with Sunday Independent, covering that case and covering the story over the last year or so of the outcome of that case. And that astonishing, and it was astonishing, it caught a lot of people by surprise last Friday, the size of the award and what the judge actually said, how unhappy he was at the actions of the Coolmore side of things when it came to taking that case and what they had said during the case and awarding those damages. And again, it's being appealed by John Magner, and that appeal will be heard maybe April, May of next year, and we'll see where it goes from there. It may go further from that point of view.